Hi, and welcome to the Poultry Nerds Podcast. I'm Carrie Blackman, and I'm here with my co-host for the show, Jennifer Bryant, and we're here to help you figure out how to raise the healthiest, happiest, and highest quality birds possible.
The Poultry Nerds Podcast is brought to you, in part, by the generous support of eggfoam.com, your trusted source to ship hatching eggs safely. They have several sizes available from small button quail to turkey size. Their shippers are cut to fit into United States Post Office complimentary boxes to make your shipping a breeze. Check out eggfoam.com.
So in your book, I've got the fifth edition. In the very beginning of it, you talk about air quality.
Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate on that? Like, how does somebody check it? What are they looking for? What levels of what should they be searching for in the air quality for their chicken?
So the simple answer is if it stinks. So what are you checking for? Look, if you walk into your chicken coop and you can't stand to be in there for more than 10 minutes to do your chores and leave, your chickens don't want to be in there. They're not enjoying their life. So statistically, what we know is that the human nose cannot detect ammonia smell until you hit 25 parts per minute, right? And we know through years and years of research and study and observation that a chicken's respiratory tract starts to deteriorate, have scar tissue, and not function efficiently anything above 10 parts per minute. So the bottom line is, by the time a human nose can detect this, we're already at 2.5 times the tolerance level of a chicken. And people sit back and think about what is the most important thing to sustaining life. It's oxygen or air quality, right? You actually have to have air before you have to worry about food and water. So I always, In every presentation I ever give or in any situation when somebody lets me say it, the three key factors to any creature are air, water, and then feed. And it's always in that order, right? So if the air quality is bad, they're not going to drink enough. If they don't drink enough, they're not going to eat enough. So air is everything, in my opinion.
All right. And we're going to talk about food and water in a little bit, because what I want to do is, as I read the book for, I think the third time I read it, I started taking notes on things that questions that I had and things that had I ever got the chance to sit down with you, I wanted to talk about. So we're going to go through it pretty much in order. The first part of the book, also you talk about brooder bedding and that your favorite was peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done some comparisons I've heard you talk about before with peat moss and shavings and other different things. Can you talk about that a little bit?
By accident, actually, if you want the background story on peat moss, I had a bale here when we had chickens in our backyard. And every day when it was chore time, you go out and you're looking around and there was this long black bantam hen who was missing. And I was like, couldn't find any feathers. I couldn't find any dead bodies. There was nothing, right? So it was really puzzling me to look around, but every day she would be missing from somewhere around lunchtime till chore time in the evening, 4 or 5 o'clock. So sitting beside the chicken coop outside where she wasn't supposed to be was a bale of peat moss. And it had a small enough opening to reach in there with a scoop and get some out. One day I looked in there because this bale of peat moss that was 80% full when we put it there was now only 30% full. Looked down inside the bag and there she was. She had found and discovered the bale of peat moss and she was buried all the way to her wattles in peat moss. So I learned two things. One, the chicken really liked the peat moss. And that began that adventure. So then we experimented with using peat moss as brooder bedding,
right?
Well, we found the same thing. the chicks loved it, right? They way prefer peat moss over anything else, just in that. And we compared it to pine shavings, large flake, small flake, medium flake, whatever. But weak Cornish frost chickens, which are stupid, were already expressing chickenness by dust bathing in it, in that peat moss, where they're not doing that in pine shavings, right? They're not doing that in any other kind of bedding. They're not digging in, fluffing themselves, having a good time. What we also noticed was we didn't have had anywhere close to the same amount to control that ammonia smell, or to control the smell, period, right? It always smelled like peat moss, you know? And we were able to go all the way through brooding 50 chicks for a field trial on one barrel of peat moss. 1 3.4 cubic foot, whatever they sell at the local hardware store.
Right.
People looked. So then curiosity got us, because everybody was complaining about peat moss and dusty and cost and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a side-by-side field trial, birding trial. And we did two groups of birds, exact same size group, exact same room, exact same everything. So that 100 chickens showed up, we split them evenly, 50-50, on day one. One side was pine shavings, the other side was peat moss. Yeah, we brooded the entire four-week period on peat moss.
And the same bale.
The same bale. Right? Now, this was an 8-foot by 8-foot brooder. And just to give you a space, 60 for our square foot, we used one bale of peat moss. And on the other side, exactly the same, 8-foot by 8-foot. For the other chicks, we went through 5.5 bales of pine shavings to manage the odor control. Right? They're in the same room. They're side by side, lit brooder. Right? Same size, exact same height, exact same brooder, heating lamp. Everything was exactly the same. Couldn't have duplicated any better picture.
For me, in Alabama, peat moss is about $25 a bale. And
it has gone up a lot in the last few years.
A bundle of pine shavings at my local box store is like $7.50-ish,
right,
a bale. But if you compare one $25 bale to the 6 bales that you're going to need to get the 5.5,
just round it down and call it high.
Even at that.
You're at $37.50.
Yeah.
So then when you're done brooding, when you clean the brooder out, if you're using pine shavings, you need to take it to the compost pot and let it finish.
Yeah, you're going to have to throw it away or let it finish composting or something.
When you finish with peat moss, you can go right to the garden, right to the flower bed, wherever you want to use it, you can spread it on your yard. It disappears. And it's more beneficial to whatever it is next. I don't care if you bag it up, box it up, and sell it to your neighbors, right? But you have something of much higher value for the
nectar
after, for the next step on.
So essentially, using peat moss, which is better for controlling bacteria and a whole lot of other stuff, and it gets chickens to doing chicken stuff faster.
We didn't even talk about this. The peat moss is naturally right out of the peat bogs is somewhere around 4-4.5% or 4.5 pH.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really mind-boggling, considering where it comes from, It is terrible. So further research as I continued down this pathway with the peat moss, and I stumbled upon some other information. Peat moss is actually, if you're in the woods, you have a major gash or a wound, peat moss is a natural bandage. Right? Mm-hmm. You can rinse off the wound, pack it, wrap it with peat moss. Well, you've got a sterile bandage at this point that's highly absorbent, right? So
with shavings, you got a place to grow bacteria.
Right. You know, the coccidiosis, the bacteria, and all that other stuff does not want to grow in that peat moss because it's naturally sterile. It wants to go back to that low pH just because of its decaying organic matter. It wants to hold it. It'll continue to do that. you know, you do not have to go in and stir it and rape it and fiddle with it nearly as much as you do with pine shavings or other types of bed, right? It stays loose and friable for the most part, unless you really screw up peat moss, because the chickens are constantly digging in there, mm-hmm. and they're always dust bait.
What's fairing it up for you?
The only complaint that I really get is from the chicken owners is all the dust, right? And people have heard it before. Jennifer Bryan said the same thing. I had dust everywhere, right? The cobwebs were black, everything was.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a truthful statement.
It is.
Right? And people worry about it. Is it going to be our respiratory hazard or our respiratory irritant or whatever? I have never, ever seen that be the case.
So for science.
For science.
I recently made the dive. I ordered 100 Cornish Cross. And instead of getting the shavings habit, I went for peat moss. And I think I put about 3 inches worth in my brooder. Probably too much.
Way too much.
Probably could have gotten away with 2 inches.
Inch and a half. Inch and a half is usually enough.
So I overkill, but I packed this brooder full of chicks. And in one of them, I have an automatic watering cups in my brooder. And one of the cups busted, and about 2 gallons of water leaked out inside of it. The only way I knew it is because I saw water dripping out the bottom of the brooder. Because when I opened it to look in there, the dirt's dry. Which tells me it's doing its job. Fixed the problem and no longer had that issue. And I was able to not have any issues with my chick. Had I been using pine shavings and 2 gallons of water escape, as young as those chicks were, they'd probably be dead. That it probably got too cold and it wouldn't have worked out for them. So
pine shavings do not have the same absorbency quality. If mm-hmm. you want to prove it to yourself, get yourself a cup or a pint jar or whatever you want of pine shavings and peat moss and start adding measured amounts of water. And you'll quickly see which one has a higher holding capacity for moisture, pine shavings or peat.
Yeah. And so with these Cornish, I had them in the brooder for 3 weeks. And normally when I'm brooding 100 chickens inside my bar, even with my 20-inch fan pulling air out, it gets rough quick. Because you take 100 chicks, a couple hundred quail that live in the barn, whatever chickens that I've got that's not quite old enough in my grow out over here to go outside, because I raise chickens year round. I had probably a couple hundred quail, 20 chickens that were 4 to 6 weeks old. But I was still seeing 20 degrees outside, so it wasn't time to put them out. I needed them to get a couple more weeks. I brought these 100 broilers in there. Didn't stay. The ammonia never hit. Obviously, it never hit the 25 parts for me because I didn't smell it.
Yeesh.
And the couple times that I did go in there and smell the manure, kicked my fan on, in about a minute, it was back smelling just peachy. There's definitely a lot of truth in that. I've been learning a lot over the past year, and I'm seeing the peat moss cost $25, shavings cost $7.50. Same way with fee.
I know.
It's why no. I can get fee for $15 a bag.
You can,
but by the time you feed them twice the amount of feed, because that's what they're going to eat.
Please.
And by the time you add stuff to it to get it to the nutrition level, you could have spent $35 on a bag of food.
Thank you for joining us this week. Before you go, be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they are released. And they're released every week. Feel free to email us at poultrynerds@gmail.com to share your thoughts about the show. Until next time, poultry pals, keep clucking, keep learning, and keep it exciting. This is Carrie signing off from Poultry Nerds. Feathers up, everyone.